So it made my job a lot easier. It saved me a lot of time. And then it just also just allowed me to have more conversations with students.
Hello there. My name is Monica Burns, and welcome to today's episode of the Easy EdTech Podcast. I'm a former New York City public school teacher and started the Easy EdTech Podcast in 2019 to share my favorite tips, tricks, and strategies for technology integration. You'll hear stories from my time in the classroom, the work I do now with schools and districts, and my travels to different EdTech events. Each episode is designed to give you ideas you can try yourself, share with a colleague, or bookmark for later in the school year. So don't forget to head to my website, classtechtips.com/podcast, for all of the show notes and resources from today's episode. If you're listening to this episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Podcasts, or another podcast player, you'll see the show notes link in the description too. This episode is sponsored by my Etsy store. Did you know that I have an Etsy store full of printables? If you're listening in November, make sure to check out all of my Thanksgiving and fall activities and games for your classroom. You can print them out or use the PDF files alongside your favorite EdTech tool. Head to Etsy.com, E-T-S-Y.com, and search for Class Tech Tips, or use the link in the show notes and podcast description to explore the new items I've created. This week's episode is titled Using Tech to Help Students Overcome Math Anxiety with Allison Dillard. I had the chance to chat with Allison earlier this year as part of a virtual event she was running, and I knew I had to get her on the podcast so you could hear all about her work. We talk about a lot of things in today's episode, but our big focus is math anxiety, what it is, and what you can do about it. Even if you don't teach math every day, I know you'll enjoy this conversation, and there are plenty of gems to take back to your work. Let's dive into the conversation. Welcome to the Easy EdTech Podcast. I am so excited to chat with you today, Allison, about using tech to help students overcome math anxiety, which is such an important topic. I think it's something that people are noticing more and more, especially, you know, as we think about the first half of the school year, really getting to know your students and notice where they might struggle or have some hangups. But before we dive into this topic, I'd love for folks to understand what your role in education is. What does your day-to-day look like?
Sure, absolutely. Well, first, thank you so much for having me on the podcast here, Monica. I'm super excited. So a little bit, I guess, on my background is I am a former math professor. I guess I should clarify, former adjunct math professor at a community college, right? Mm-hmm. So I've worked with a lot of students who, you know, didn't place into four-year colleges. A lot of times who didn't place into college-level math, right? They were placed sort of into that remedial math where they were kind of essentially repeating, you know, high school algebra. And so I did that for a number of years. And, you know, then I had some health problems. I ended up having to take a year off of school, off of teaching. Mm-hmm. I was fortunate in that, like, I recovered, you know, after surgery and chemotherapy, I recovered really quickly. And I ended up with like this year off of teaching, which just gave me a lot of time to sort of, you know, reflect on, you know, what I was doing in math, you know, what our school and our whole education system really was. And then that sort of led to me writing my first book, Crush Math Now, which is just a bunch of, you know, tips and stuff for students to get through their math class. And then that led me to sort of, you know, writing other math books, starting the Allison Loves Math podcast, and then eventually being here today with you. So, yeah.
Well, I appreciate you sharing that journey and just that reflection time to say, you know, where does everyone need help, right? What you notice with your students, which, you know, takes us back to all the greats, right? Everything that got your students to where they are. And so as we think today about this idea of using tech and the connection to supporting students with math anxiety, which can mean a lot of different things, I would imagine. Mm-hmm. Can you help us unpack that term? What does math anxiety mean? What does it look like in a classroom setting?
Mm-hmm. So you know, math anxiety is sort of essentially what it sounds like, right? It's being anxious around math. And there's really, you know, I'm writing a book called The Math Anxiety Handbook right now with a math professor with a PhD in math anxiety. Actually, her name is Maria Ryan. And, you know, one of the things that we've been writing on recently is that there really is sort of a spectrum, if you will, mm-hmm. of math anxiety, right? From low math anxiety, where students are just, they're a little anxious. They don't like math, right? Maybe they get a little bit nervous on tests, all the way to sort of severe math anxiety, where students are literally having, you know, could have a panic attack mm-hmm. on a test, right? They think that they're having a heart attack, you know, and it literally makes them feel nauseous when they just think of doing it. So there really is a wide range of math anxiety, but the effects of it, right? That those feelings of like panic, or even we actually hear students talk sometimes about like, you know, math trauma or math PTSD, mm-hmm. and stuff, yeah. you know, and those are really emotional words that we hear a lot around math that we don't around other subjects, right? There mm-hmm. isn't like music anxiety. There isn't like history, you know, PTSD, stuff like that, you know, but really as a culture, everybody's become very okay with saying, you know, I don't like math. I'm just bad at math. You know, I have math anxiety.
And that's such an interesting point, Allison, that just the language when we talk about where people feel that they struggle, right? Whether that's mm-hmm. even an accurate representation, right? Or the parts of the day that maybe they don't love or feel as confident in, you hear it so much. It's so conditioned, it feels okay and accepted, right? To just mm-hmm. talk about math that way, where you don't hear those same sort of things when you talk even about areas where there is also struggle, like reading mm-hmm. or writing, reading. Right? Exactly. You know, there's lots of hard parts of the day for everyone, you know? And so it's so interesting to think about how, you know, as a society, we talk more about, you know, this aspect of math. We use that language. And I sometimes worry, you know, and I'm sure you've seen this in your own practice, that that's just like a reinforcing piece, right? It's a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? That yes. isn't something that I'm good at. I keep saying it. I hear other people say it too, right? So, right, we just mm-hmm. kind of fall into this. And so from the work that you do and the work that you do with students and with other, you know, educators and your research around this piece, you know, where does technology come into play? Is there more frustration? Does it open up doors for students? You know, what's the tech connection here?
Exactly. So I think one of the things that I noticed when I got into the classroom was that let me back up a second and say that before I was a professor, before I was an author, all of that, you know, I was a math tutor, right? That was something I started in college and I did it for a little while out of college. And the cool thing about working one-on-one students with math is, God, there's so much you can accomplish, right? You mm-hmm. get to talk to them. You get to really know them. You have these great conversations with them. And that can make such a huge difference when it comes to math anxiety and just sort of skyrocketing their progress, right? They can learn so much, catch up so much, change their mindset so much. And so one of the challenges in the classroom is like, my goodness, how do we do that when we have 40 students there instead of just one?
Yeah.
And so one of the things that I just kept trying to do is I really wanted to see that same progress in my students that I used to see when I was working one-on-one with students. And really the key to that was using technology, right? How can you take that conversation you would have one-on-one with a student and sort of amplify it so all of the students are sort of getting that same benefit? And really that came back to figuring out, you know, what technology I could use to, you know, sort of create a safe environment, allow for that communication that happens sort of quickly and automatically, so you can sort of have those safe conversations with students.
Yeah. And just, you know, that idea of listening in or hearing from students, or, you know, getting a picture of what they're thinking, right? That can happen very easily if we're sitting mm-hmm. side by side with them, right? And we're right. saying, you know, yeah. all right, I love how you did this, right? Or tell me about your decision here, or talk me through, right? It's a very different type of experience. And I know from, you know, I taught math as a fifth grade teacher for several years, you know, and you lose that sometimes, mm-hmm. right? When you're yeah. collecting a piece of paper, right? Mm-hmm. Or you're reviewing multiple, you don't get that, like the why, right? From students behind, right. you know? And so I'm curious if you've seen, and I know I've seen this with some screencasting tools, right? Like, have you seen technology used in a way where students can really share their thinking or capture their thinking or kind of give that window to a teacher into what their thought process was?
Yes. So one of the problems that students have with math anxiety is not really understanding their math anxiety, right? They think that they're just sort of a a math anxious person. They think it's just mm-hmm. who they are. And it's just, that's like a fixed trait that they have, right? Mm-hmm. And they don't necessarily understand that, you know, their math anxiety sort of probably stemmed from an experience, you know, mm-hmm. that happened, some sort of negative experience that got them thinking, you know, maybe they did terrible on a test. Maybe their teacher told them they did terrible, mm-hmm. you know, or somebody told them they were bad at math, right? And so I think it, so one of the things, one of like the sort of go-to strategies for helping students with math anxiety is mm-hmm. to get them to realize this, right? And so you can sort of have this question of just sort of like, you know, what is your experience with math, right? Or maybe mm-hmm. what experience led you to have math anxiety? And so that's a question that sort of those self-reflection mm-hmm. questions are very helpful with math anxiety. And so what I did in class was I used a tool called Socrative.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was really a game changer in terms of starting this conversation with students because, you know, students can, they can log into their phone or their computer, whatever, you know, little mm-hmm. device that they have, right? They just log in and then their answers appear in your classroom on Socrative, right?
Yeah.
And so I can put a question up on the board and it's basically like, you know, what was your experience with math? If you want to start with a general question, right? Mm-hmm. And then all of their answers just sort of appear on the screen in front of you. And the thing that you notice, right? Well, you know, you notice, I noticed it about tutoring is like, gosh, you end up having the exact same conversations with every student, right? And then so of course, you know, there ends up being a lot of students who end up saying, oh, I hate math. I've been terrible at math forever. You know, I'm just bad at math. And, you know, I've been bad at math since second grade or since algebra or since fractions, you know, whatever it is. And then you can address it in the class, yeah. you know, like, mm-hmm. and you don't have to single people out. You can say, oh my gosh, a bunch of you are just saying that you've had math anxiety since like elementary school. Let's talk about that a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden that conversation you might've had one-on-one with students is now one that you're having with the whole class. Right. And as when you say with the class, like, oh, a number of you guys mentioned this, let's talk about it. Everybody sort of listens, right? And they know maybe it's not me, but it could be the student next to mm-hmm. me. So as long as it's helpful for somebody, you know, they're sort of keeping that open mind there. So I really like Socrative as a tool to help with those self-reflection questions, right? Mm-hmm. That allows you to have that conversation with a group of 40 that normally you would just have one-on-one.
I love that. And that's a great free tool, right? There's mm-hmm. a premium plan, yeah. but I know I was just this past August working with a school in New York where I was out there. We're talking about formative assessment and a couple different things. And we were looking at that one, right? As an mm-hmm. option for those quick responses. So I love that that, you know, is an option for starting a conversation, bringing everyone mm-hmm. together. And I could even imagine, you know, and that's not, I mean, I think Socrative you could use, I've used it. I use it in my fifth grade class, right? It's definitely elementary friendly, but if you have students who maybe, you know, would be more comfortable sharing like on video using Flip or Flipgrid, right? You know, that is even right, another option. Right. But I love that strategy of using technology to capture student reflections and really bring everyone together on that same page, right? With those different shared experiences. That's fantastic. Now, are there any other ed tech, you know, tools or technology that you would recommend an educator kind of think about or consider bringing in to address this idea of math anxiety?
So there have been some studies on how meditation can help students with test anxiety or math anxiety, mm-hmm. any sorts of anxiety, right? And I know this was one that I was actually very nervous to bring up in math class because just the idea of doing meditation in math class seemed very... It's nothing I ever saw in any of my math classes ever. And I probably would have thought that my math teacher was like crazy or something, but it was one of those things where, you know, I read about it. I knew that it was something that could help students. Right. And really, you know, I just, you know, if you read through my books and stuff, you know that I'm all about just experimentation, right? You just try things out and then you see if it works. And so I tried that with my students. And one of the app that I found to be the most helpful was Headspace.
Ooh, right? Okay. Yeah.
And mm-hmm. So I introduced Headspace in my class. And again, so I just sort of introduced it as, you know, I know a lot of us here have math anxiety. We've been having conversations about it, right? Mm-hmm. So now we are jumping into what are different things that we can do to help with the math anxiety. And, you know, and then I shared some of this information about what I had read about meditation. And then we tried it. And the cool thing about trying different things like that in classes, and again, we're just saying, it's obviously not going to help everybody, but if it helps like one person in class, yeah. then maybe it's worth it for us to try it out. All of a sudden, students are exposed to this app that can help them a lot and they can use it on their own on a daily basis. They were just introduced to it as a possible tool in class.
I love that idea of just centering around something, right? There's a shared experience. It might be something that students bring into their own personal tool belt, you know, Headspace, Calm, right? There's a lot of apps that provide access to this. I know even Brain FM is one that I love for just like, let's get some ambient noise going, set the timer, you know, maybe it's just that 5 minutes, right? That we are easing into something and then we turn the music off, right? Or we take the 30-second breath exercise, right? Whatever it might be, you know, and I think that's a great thing, of course, you know, across content areas, but just a centering activity, especially in a moment where students have already expressed that they're feeling a little worked up, right? Or whatever the vocabulary is that we're using to talk about it. You know, this podcast, you know, there's classroom teachers who listen for sure. There's instructional coaches who support, you know, a wide range of folks in their district, right? They might pop into a social studies classroom. They might pop into a math classroom.
Right, yeah.
And so thinking about their role, how can they start this conversation with their colleagues? You know, we can, you know, work under the assumption that this is a known issue, right? Mm-hmm. That yes, everyone agrees that this is something that they're observing. But if there's an instructional coach who's having conversations with a math educator, math department, a teacher who is teaching math during part of their day, you know, how might they broach this subject with them?
Using technology with a math anxiety, I think it can be really discussing how it can be really helpful to get students that sort of immediate feedback that they need, right? Because, you know, I know we use technology all the time for immediate feedback in terms of correct answers, right? Because there's, you know, every platform for math, you know, it has, you know, it'll show you what you did wrong, right? And it might even sort of, you know, automatically say, oh, good job, or like, you know, nice try, like some of the just sort of generic growth mindset statements, right? But it's really more helpful for students to hear that from teachers, right? Mm-hmm. And the more specific that you can get, right, whether it's in response to a reflection question or a specific math problem, you know, the more specific that sort of feedback and conversation can be, you know, the more helpful it is, right? And so technology really allows you to do that for your whole class, you know, in a way that's sort of organic, I guess, that makes sense. I guess, so an example really that could be used is, so I co-authored the Love Math Journal with Nicole Thompson, right? And it is a series of just journal prompts, you know, positive prompts, just thinking about it. It's like gratitude around math and growth mindset around math. And it just allows students to journal and think about that. And honestly, and I know I shouldn't say this because I would love to have the journal in all of the classrooms, but one of the things that's great about doing that, say in Socrative, right, is that you don't have to wait till later to collect it to start that conversation, right? Instead, if you get those answers right there, then it's an immediate conversation that you can have with your student. You know, sorry, I guess it was more of a train of thought as I was thinking through your question. But I think, you know, one, it can help teachers to make it easier for them, right? In that situation, I was able to have conversations with students that, you know, had I tried to, you know, collect things and have conversations after the fact or jot down notes on it, it wouldn't have quite been the same and it wouldn't have been immediate. You know, so it made my job a lot easier. It saved me a lot of time. And then it just also just allowed me to have more conversations with students. So I think, you know, one way to look at it is to make things easier, right? Another is to get more immediate feedback to students and more just sort of, you know, I don't know. I think a lot of the sort of growth mindset messages that we have to give students, that sort of, you know, we make mistakes and that's part of the learning process, you know, and you pick yourself up, you know, when you fall, all of that stuff really has to come from the teacher in the moment when it happens, right? And technology allows that to happen.
Such a great point. And, you know, there's, I'm sure folks listening here who already have routines in place for collecting formative assessment data, right? Or acting on feedback. And I love this connection to saying, right, we're gathering this information quickly, right? We're saving time using technology this way. Maybe it's an interactive presentation tool. Maybe it's a messaging tool, right? I'm a big fan of Lumio and Nearpod and a bunch of ones that have some nice visuals that go along with it. But then we're layering in those conversations right away. And that personalized component too is such an important one to think about making it stick, I think, for students too. So Allison, you shared so many great tips and resources and things for listeners to consider. I know you have a podcast and you mentioned your books, which we're going to link out to for people to be able to find. But let us know, where can listeners connect with you? Where can they learn more about your work?
Awesome. Well, I mean, I guess if you're listening to this on the podcast, you might already be in Spotify or, you know, Apple Podcasts or something. So if you are, you can jump over to the Allison Loves Math podcast. I think it was the very second episode that I had on the podcast was with my co-author, who is now my co-author, Maria Ryan, on math anxiety. And so I would say, you know, jump over there, check out the podcast, specifically some of the episodes on math anxiety for some more tips there. And then you can also reach me at AllisonLovesMath.com. I have a bunch of free resources over there, as well as information on my books. And I'm hosting some teacher conferences, and which Monica's a speaker at, and you can find everything over there.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for your time today. And this was so much fun jumping into what can be a stress-inducing topic. So thank you for sharing so many great tips with listeners.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me. This was so fun.
It was so much fun chatting with Allison today about a topic that is definitely important and transfers into lots of different subject areas, even though math was our focus for today. So let's make this EdTech easy with a couple key points from today's episode. Start conversations with students about their feelings about math. Take what you learn into your planning. And use technology to get a picture of student thinking. Remember, you can find the show notes and the full list of resources from this episode, including all the ways to connect with Allison, at classtechtips.com/podcast and finding today's episode number 187. This episode is sponsored by my Etsy store. Did you hear the news? I opened up an Etsy store full of printables this year. And if you're listening in the month of November, make sure to check out all of my Thanksgiving and fall activities, as well as some games for your classroom. You can print them out or use the PDF files alongside some of your favorite EdTech tools. Head to Etsy.com, E-T-S-Y.com, and search for Class Tech Tips, or use the link in the show notes and podcast description to explore the new items I've created. Thank you for tuning in to another Tuesday episode of the Easy EdTech Podcast. If you are listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or another favorite app, don't forget to hit the follow button. This way, next week's episode will be waiting for you first thing on Tuesday morning. And if you want to share an idea from the episode with a friend or colleague, text, tweet, or post the link on your favorite social media platform. And of course, you can tag me at Class Tech Tips with any questions.